I'd like you to turn this evening to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And we're going to read, yes, chapter 1 and verse 16. Yes. I'm going to read one simple, well, it's not a simple verse, but we're going to take a little phrase from this one verse and preach on this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It reads, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Let's bow our hearts and pray. Father, again we come to you tonight in the mighty and matchless name of the Lord Jesus. And we would ask that you would shut us in with yourself tonight. Again, we're gathered around your word. Oh Lord, how precious is your word, and yet we're slow to understand it. So we need the quickening power of your spirit to enliven us tonight, enliven our understanding, to speak into our hearts, to cause us to understand what you are saying to us through your word. So Father, tonight we'd ask, by the power of your spirit, in the proclamation of your word, would the Lord Jesus be magnified. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Colossians 1:16. There's so much in this one verse. In fact, there's so much in this one chapter. It's one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible. But it says, "By him," that's by Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Now, here's what we want to do this evening. We want to just take one little phrase from this one little verse and examine it. And it's at the very end, it says, "All things were created by him and for him." All right? So, I've only one point to make tonight. This is not a three-point sermon. All things were created by him and for him. Isn't that simple? No. I don't even want to take the first phrase, "All things were created by him," although that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? I hope you do believe that. Hey, do you believe that God created you? Do you really? I mean, we did. I don't believe for a moment on all this silly talk about evolution that we crawled out from under some log somewhere. I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe that the two monkeys sitting in the zoo, one said to the other, "Am I my keeper's brother?" I don't believe that for a moment. And so I believe God created us. And that's a wonderful truth. Why do we have it in the Gospel of John in chapter 1? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him that were made." All things were created by him. By who? The Word. Who is the Word? Well, the Word, verse 14 of John chapter 1, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." The Word, the eternal Word, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. He's not a deputy creator. He's the Creator. He's our God. And so that's how we know who God is, because the Word stepped out and became God. I mean, not became God, became man. But who is this Word? He's Jesus. And when was he? In the beginning. That's when he was. When was the beginning? I don't know when the beginning was. But before there was anything, there was the beginning. And if you roll back the curtain of time, there you find Jesus, the Word, the one who became flesh. He was there at the beginning. He didn't come after the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things are created, are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So that's a great truth. But here's the point, or the part of the verse that I want us to look at tonight. It says that all things were created by Him and for Him.
We are really strong on created by Him. We know that. We preach it. We defend that.
But the rest of it says that we're created not just by Him, but for Him. Do you know that's what you've been created for?
Why am I here, says somebody. Somebody worried about their destiny. Somebody trying to search for the meaning of life.
Here's the meaning of life. You're created for Him. That's the meaning of life. You're created for Him. Is that simple or what? You're created for Him. No great mystery there. Think of it. That is why you are alive. That's why I'm alive. You are alive not for yourself, but you are alive for Him. For who? For the Lord Jesus. The one who created you, you're alive for Him. You're existing right now for Him. That's why you're saved. You're saved for Him. That's why He has called you. He's called you for Him, for His purpose, for His glory. We are, our memory verse, verse 10 of Ephesians 2. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we would walk in them. Created for Him. Created for Him. Now then, if we really knew this, there would be fewer anxieties in our life. I'm telling you. If we knew this truth, there would be less worry in our life. That we're here for Him. Oh, but what am I going to do? What am I going to do? We're here for Him. We're here for Him. That's simple, isn't it? You know, this is wonderful. We're created by Him. We're created for Him. This puts significance into your Christian life. And we are created for Him. Do you know the love that the Father has for you today is not a love that started when you got saved? Oh, that is so mistaught in so many pulpits. But the love that the Father has for you started before you ever were born. And not only that, it started before there ever was a world. It did. Do you know how old the gospel is? Does anybody know how old the gospel is? Some people say, oh, gospel, oh, that's old. It's 2,000 years old. No, it's older than 2,000 years. Oh, no, yeah, you're right there. The gospel's as old as all those types and shadows in the Old Testament. And all those things, that blood sacrifice. Oh, well, yeah, but it's older than that. Oh, yeah, it's older than that. Yeah, let me see, how old is the gospel? Oh, the gospel was preached to Abraham, so it's as old as Abraham. Oh, it's older than that. No, yeah, you're right. Brother McKee, it was back in the Garden of Eden. That's how old the gospel is, because they took animal skins, innocent animal substitute to cover the sin to the sinning people. The gospel's older than that. Do you know how old the gospel is? The gospel is as old as God. This is no news, no truth we're preaching here. And before you ever were born, before you ever existed, God loved you. And He set His purpose upon you. And He chose you. You're created by Him. And you're created for Him. And yes, you're born into a sinful race, and here's what our God did. He stepped into time out of eternity, and He became one of us, and He lived for us perfectly. And then He went to the cross and died for us. Why? Was it for us? No, I'll tell you why. It was for Him. It was for Him. Oh yeah, I get the benefits. But we get so into this whole thing and say, yeah, it's all about me. No, it's all about Him. We are created by Him. We are created for Him. Now that's the purpose of life. He has chosen us. Did you know that it's a personal love that He has for us? Paul is able to say, the Son of God loved me. And He gave Himself for me. Can you say that? I'm not asking you to say it, but I'm asking you, can you say that? Do you know that the Son of God loved you? And He gave Himself for you? Well, you say, oh, Brother Miles, He loves everybody.
anybody.
I don't find that in the Bible. I haven't found that yet, you know.
I cringe when I see church notices say, Jesus loves you. Imagine Pharaoh was driving past there. Jesus loves you, Pharaoh. Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, Pharaoh. Yeah, you know, Pharaoh, what he's going to do with you? He's going to make you an object of wrath. He's going to baptize you permanently. Jesus loves everyone. Listen, Jesus loves his people. And he's gone to the cross for his people. And he's died for his people. And the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that? Do you know that you are loved of God? I say, how would I know that? Have you trusted him? Have you believed on him? Have you rested your salvation on him? Well, then you're one of his. Simple. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Your following doesn't get you saved. It's just a result of being saved. You get a gift of eternal life. But that's another story. Oh yeah, he set his affections on us. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the earth. Now then, let's just illustrate this. You are created by him, and you're created for him. As I look through the stories of the Old Testament, I see a lot of interesting events which illustrate this. There's a lot of people and things and animals that understood more than a lot of us understand. Do you remember the book of Jonah? Anybody here ever heard of Jonah? Jonah and the big fish. All right, you know that story. He was a prophet. Let me just stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He was a prophet and he was called to go and preach in a city called Nineveh. And he doesn't want to do this. So here's what we're faced with Jonah. Jonah knows that he's created by the Lord, but he forgets that he's created for the Lord. He says, no, Lord, I love you. And that's an oxymoron. You can't actually say, no, Lord. Lord, when you say Lord, that means I agree you are in charge. I'm not in charge. But he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, that is one of the funniest statements I've ever read. That Jonah here, he's a prophet, and he rises up to flee from the presence of the Lord. He's decided to be disobedient, to do what he wants to do. Here's a prophet who's forgotten his Theology 101 class. How do you flee from the omnipresent God? Good man, that's... Yeah. Yeah, you and me both, eh? So, how do you rise up to flee from the presence of the omnipresent God? David, he said in the Psalms, in Psalms 139, he says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You cannot get out of God's presence. But Jonah forgot, and he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. He'd forgotten he's created for the Lord. Now then, what's the Lord do? It says, but Jonah rose up to flee, and then said, but the Lord sent a great wind out into the sea. By them. It's as if God said to the wind, wind, I have a disobedient prophet out there. I want you to do something for me, wind. I want you to blow upon the sea and blow upon that ship and blow the fear of my fear into those people. And I think I can hear the wind saying, yes, Lord, I was created by you, and I'm created for you. And then what did the Lord do? The Lord prepared a big fish. You know the story of Jonah and the big fish? Oh, Brother McKee, you don't believe that. Yeah, I do. You believe that big fish swallowed Jonah, kept him alive?
I do. You know, and I may be from Ireland, or maybe it's just because I believe the Bible, but if it said that Jonah swallowed the fish, I would believe that too. But it didn't say that. All right? It just said that God prepared this great fish. We call it a whale, but what was it? I don't know. Big fish, I've got a disobedient prophet. I told the wind to bring the storm. Now he's going to be thrown into the sea. And I want you to swallow him or take him into your mouth. And I don't want you to hurt him. I don't want you to kill him. But I want you to make his life as a hell for 3 days and three nights. And then I want you to vomit him up on the seashore. And it's as if the big fish said, yes, Lord, I was created by you and I am created for you. No problem in the big fish to do the will of God. And the big fish swims up to Jonah and says, come on in out of the wet. And you know the story. You know the story. Ah, yes. We are created for him. We're created by him, yes. We're created for him. That's why you're created. You are here because you're on this life. This is your purpose, to live for him and for his glory. In 1 Kings 17, I see another illustration of this. Do you remember Elijah had the big conflict with Ahab, the king? And the Lord said, Elijah, I want you to go and hide yourself. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I'm to hide myself. This means that Elijah's been taken out of public ministry. Well, he's not going to be preaching anymore. Hey, how am I going to live? I'm going to hide. How am I going to be fed? It's all right, Elijah. I have commanded, says the Lord, the ravens. And they're going to come and feed you. Now, I don't know if you know this about ravens. Ravens are the greediest birds on the face of this earth. Ravens wouldn't share anything with anyone. And the Lord says, I've commanded the ravens to come and feed you. And it's as if the ravens said, yes, Lord, we were created by you. We're created for you. Are you starting to get the point? Are you getting the point here? It's so simple. Mark chapter 11. Do you remember before the triumphal entry? Oh, Jesus is going to fulfill prophecy to this day. He's going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Well, do you think how stupid that is to the natural man? Kings don't ride donkeys. They ride big white horses. Horses in Bible days were reserved for kings or military. You didn't own horses and just go riding around. But here comes God's king. Here comes God's champion. Here he comes. He's going on his way to the cross. And he comes riding on a donkey. Oh, he's humble. He's lowly. Yet he's fulfilling prophecy. Right there. But how did he get the donkey? He said to his disciples, go and get this donkey. And if anybody asks you, what are you doing with that donkey? Just say, the Lord has need of him. But folks, would you think for a moment, let's say it's a donkey and it's in your neighbor's yard, would you go in and untie it and take it off? That's kind of like theft, isn't it? Well, it's not kind of like it, it is. And two fellas say, hey, what are you guys doing there with that donkey? Do you know all he said? He said, the Lord has need of him. And it's as if those fellas said, oh, the Lord is needed. Oh, that's all right. Well, the Lord created that donkey. Yeah. Created by the Lord. And he's created for the Lord. It's all over the Bible, this principle. It's all over the Word of God. And you remember on the triumphal entry, he's riding into Jerusalem, and there everybody's praising, Hosanna, Hosanna, the arrival of the king, Hosanna. And the Pharisees are angry, and they hate Jesus, and they're seething against him, and they've been plotting and planning. They've even confederated with their arch enemies in the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, their enemies, but they've got together and had a council, and they said, we have got to get rid of this man, Jesus, because if he becomes too popular, it says this in John chapter 11. If he becomes too popular, then the Romans are going to come in and they're going to remove our place and our nation. They're going to take away our place, means our temple. Now, as Caiaphas, the high priest, didn't like that because his temple made fortunes for them in fleecing the people. But that's another story. They made millions out of false religion. And so they determined to put him away, this troublemaker. And here he comes riding a donkey. And everybody's going, Hosanna, Hosanna, taking the palm branches before him, Hosanna. And they say, bid your disciples to be quiet. You know what was said then? Oh, if they're quiet, the very stones will cry out. It's as if the stones of the street knew something. They knew we are created by him. And we're created for him. Oh, what a glorious truth. Let's go to heaven. You go to heaven, Revelation 4 and verse 11. There's 24 elders before the throne. What are they crying out? They're crying out, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. That's what we've been reading in Colossians 1 and 16. For thy pleasure. Thou hast created all things for his pleasure. That's why you're here. You're here for his pleasure. For his pleasure. For his glory. Doesn't that uncomplicate life? It really does. We're here for his glory. I hope you're getting the point. Here's one of the great things we can learn from this. And that is that you are not the center of everything. That might come as a shock to you. You are not the center of everything. Jesus is. You're created by him. You're created for him. Now then, do you know what he's done? Not only did he create you, he bought you, purchased you. Now all we like sheep had gone astray, turned everyone to their own way. So he created us, but then he went to the cross and purchased us. I read a true story some years ago about a little fella, young lad. This I think was in England, might have been in America, but he carved a boat. And he was very proud of his boat, and he sailed his little boat on the river. A small boat. Got a little sail on it and all like that. But somehow the current of the river took it off, and he tried to find it, but he couldn't find it. And he was heartbroken because he had lost his little boat. And then, do you know what? A couple of weeks later, he was in a nearby town with his father. He went to that town with his father on a Saturday, and he was looking at the shops while his father was doing his whatever business he was doing. And here in the window of one little gift shop, he saw his boat. And so he ran inside and he said, hey, give me my boat. And the man says, well, that will cost you £5. He said, well, I don't have £5. He said, well, you can't have the boat. He says, but I made that boat. I carved that boat. It's mine. He said, no. You've got to pay me £5. So he asked his father for the £5. His father says, well, if you'll cut grass, if you'll do whatever. And the wee fella did all his chores and he did all his work. And he got his money together and he got back and he bought the boat. And he got the boat in his hands and he says, now you are twice mine. I made you and I bought you. That's what Jesus has done with us. He made us. He's bought us. What did he pay with? He paid with his blood. His precious blood.
He created you for himself. He's purchased you for himself. Isn't he lovely? Don't you love him? Isn't he wonderful? Oh, yes. So then, that's why we learn to pray, "Thy will be done." Have you ever prayed that? That's that disciples' prayer thing. Yeah, yeah. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's your first petition right there. Hallowed be thy name. "Lord, let your name be glorified. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." What's his kingdom? It's his government, his rule. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth." Hey, where are we? We're on earth. So Lord, do your will in, through, and by us. Because we're created by you. And we're created for you. I am just always astonished when I talk to young Christians. And I say, "What are you planning to do with your life?" "Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, oh yeah, and I'm going to, yeah, yeah." Have you prayed about any of that? No. No. Wait a minute. You say you're saved. You say you've been purchased by blood. And you're just going to write your own agenda? No, no, you're not understanding this. You're created by him. You're created for him. For him. But how will I ever find out the will of the Lord? Well, delight yourself in him. You know, if you're delight yourself in the Lord, have you ever done that? Have you ever delighted yourself in the Lord? Hey, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know a lot of you believe the gospel. You believe that you're purchased by blood. You believe you've been created by God. You believe that you're purchased by the blood of Christ at the cross. Have you ever thanked him for that? Oh, we do every Sunday. No, I'm talking about every day. Have you ever said, "Lord, here I am, first thing this morning, and I should be in hell, but you have purchased me. Thank you for your cleansing blood, your preserving blood. Thank you that your hand is upon me." Well, that's delighting yourself in the Lord. You delight yourself in the Lord, things start to fall into place. There's another message there which we're not going to go into. But we are here for his glory. That is not an option. The whole of nature knows this. The wind knows this. The fish know this. The ravens know this. The donkeys know this. The stones in the street know this. But how much is it a part of our lives that we're created for him? Is that truth working in our lives? Have you ever read anything about the missionaries? Have you ever read about Patton of the New Hebrides? He, as a young man, was called of God to go to the New Hebrides. Now, this is some years ago, and in his church, a lot of the people in his church said, "I don't think you should go out there." And one old man was talking to him and saying, "Young Patton, that's a very bad idea to go out to the New Hebrides." "Why is that?" "Because there are cannibals out there. And you go out there and they'll eat you." And young Patton, I think he was just filled with the Spirit at that moment. And he said something which might be conceived as being cheeky or rude, which it wasn't. But he said, "Sir, with respect," he said, "you are an old man. And soon you will die. And when they put you in the ground, the worms will eat you up. So I don't mind whether it's cannibals or worms that eat me up. I'm going to preach Christ crucified." You know something? There's a fellow who knew he was created by God, but he knew he was also created for him. For him. It doesn't matter what happens. Whether it's cannibals or worms that eat me. I'm here for his glory. Let's try to avoid a one-sided walk with God. What's that? That's always, "Lord, do this for me. Lord, do that. Lord, do that." And that's not that he's not gracious enough, but "Lord, me, 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 me." All of it me. All of it you. No, it's not. You are not the center. Christ is the center. Let's ask him how we can live for him. For his glory. We're created for him. The old children's hymn, I love it. It says this: "Oh, what can little hands do?
You ever heard that one? What can little hands do to please the King of Heaven? These little hands, some work may try to help the poor in misery. Such grace to mine be given. Oh, what can little lips do to praise the King of Heaven? Oh, these little lips can pray and praise and gentle words of kindness say. Such grace to mine be given. Oh, well, what could little eyes do to please the King of Heaven? These little eyes could upward look and learn to read God's holy book. Such grace to mine be given. Oh, what could little hearts do to please the King of Heaven? Young hearts, if God His Spirit send, can love their Maker, Savior, Friend. Such grace to mine be given. May God give us grace and help us to live for His glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.